All right, let's see here. It is. I got that right. It's 27 March. It's Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Prophecy Report. Mental disorders. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, photo, which you guys don't see unless you go and watch the update or the report again later, is I always have a photo that I do for the, you know, so people can see it on YouTube or Rumble or whatever. And this week it has a guy that's going like this and all these squiggly lines coming out of his head. And he's got all the mental disorders around him. You know, we got taxes, we got war going on. And one of them is down in the bottom corner. And I'm going to get a lot of heat over this one. It says cats. So, yeah, mental disorders. Okay, so there you go. But that was my thumbnail for the video this week. All right, so we got a couple of visitors here today. The first ones are return visitors. It's Steve and Junia. Did I say that right?
Junia.
I knew it was on the second syllable. I knew that, and I knew I was going to get it wrong. Olson. They've been here before. They came again this time, and they gave me advanced notice. And so I was able to spend a little time with them on Friday afternoon. We had lunch together down at the pub across from Turtle Beach, where we used to preach on the beach years ago. And then they came by the house for a while and met Hideko. And I so much appreciate you guys making the effort. It just means the world to me. And it was such a nice afternoon. I get working. And if I don't have anything to do like that, I just stay. And I just, at the end of the day, it's like I'm just tired and there's nothing refreshing. But spending some time with you was very wonderful. So thank you. And then walking in this morning, I did know this morning, or was it last night you emailed me? Anyway, I think I read it. Yeah, last night. Okay. Is Scott Bedgood and Chris Ann. Okay. And they're visiting all the way from California. What they've done is they've driven across the states and they had to go to Missouri for a reason. Can I say what happened there? Okay. His wife and his daughter were murdered a couple years ago. And they just settled that in the courts this week. And so it was a very tragic thing that happened to them. But he said during that time, two people in particular helped him through it. And it wasn't me when I say this. It's obviously not me personally, but it's the doctrine that we put forth was the Superior Word Church and JD's church out in Hawaii. He said those two things really got him through this difficult time. And so it's finally resolved. And he said, we're halfway there. We're just going to drive down and visit Charlie today. And I so, so much appreciate that. It means the world to me. And he very humble. I don't want to bother you beforehand, so I didn't tell you we were here. But they drove yesterday to Turtle Beach, which is a mile from my house. So I'm like, oh, if I had known, you could, you know, just come over and spend a couple hours. But next time, give me some more advance notice that you're coming and we'll set something up and it'll be wonderful. And if you go to Turtle Beach again today, please stop by the house, okay? It's literally a 1 minute drive from the beach or a 10 minute walk. And so I just was heartbroken when I heard that, but thank you for this effort. And I'm so glad to have been a part of your healing process, or actually we as a church. Thank you for that. Let's see here. I got a little comedy before we get into our first section today. You've probably heard this, but it's still worth repeating, so you have something to feel good about before we get into the actual news billets. Let's see here from Weasel Zippers. Triple vaxxed Psaki has COVID for the second time in 4 months. Second time. She stands up there with that arrogant attitude about what's going on in the world of COVID, and I've got it all figured out. Two times in 4 months, she's got COVID. And then from the Epic Times, Hillary Clinton tests positive for COVID-19. Okay, I don't mean them any ill, but and I'm sure they're going to get right through this because it's not generally a lethal disease, but it's comedy when people get up there and arrogantly say the things they say, and then they get it. Okay, now we got something interesting from Israel today, from the Washington Free Beacon. Amnesty International goes anti-Semite, says Israel should not exist as a Jewish state. Now, they have a right to say this, but I just find it interesting that they would do this at all. Okay, if they don't exist as a Jewish state, they wouldn't exist at all. I hate to tell you that. It would not happen. The director of Amnesty International USA said Israel should not exist as a Jewish state in the wake of his organization's release of a controversial report on Israel that drew backlash from U.S. officials. American Jews want a safe Jewish space, Executive Director Paul O'Brien said, rather than explicitly Jewish state. O'Brien, who is not Jewish, obviously with a name like O'Brien, called on the Jewish community to collectively change the conversation and bring about a secular state by adhering to core Jewish values, which are to be principled and fair and just. Well, I hate to tell this guy, but that's all they have there is a secular state. Being Jewish does not mean that it's some religious state. It's their culture. They do not identify as a religious people. Now, there are religious people in Israel that identify as religious people, but the state itself does not. It is a secular state. So this guy doesn't even know what he's talking about, and he's spouting off this typical stuff that people want to say. Amnesty takes no political views on any question. Well, that's what they're doing right there. Yeah, including the right of the state of Israel to survive. O'Brien made the remarks, which were reported by Jewish Insider at an event hosted by the Women's National Democratic Club. The director of the human rights group defended a report released last month by his parent organization that accused Israel of carrying out an apartheid against Palestinians and called for Israeli officials to face prosecution in international courts. Once again, if this guy had ever gone to Israel and simply inserted himself into the society for 8 minutes instead of just believing what he's told on the news, he'd know that none of this is true. Okay. I have friends that are right now in Israel. There's Jews, in Nazareth, Israel. There are Jews there. There are Arabs there. They're all Israeli citizens. There are other groups of people that have come in as well that are Israeli citizens. They are all treated exactly the same. The fact that the Palestinians have their own areas on the other side proves that it is not an apartheid state because they have nothing to do with the state of Israel. Everything that this guy is saying is completely unfounded. It is inaccurate, and it is just lies that are spouted by people all the time. That report, which he cited, was rebuked by State Department officials and lawmakers on both sides of the aisle. The director was unequivocal in opposing the existence of Israel as a state for the Jewish people. The right of the people to self-determination and be protected is without a doubt something that we believe in, and I personally believe that, O'Brien said. We are opposed to the idea, and this, I think, is an existential part of the debate, that Israel should be preserved as a state for the Jewish people. They're the majority there. It is up to them what their state looks like. They have people that are not Jewish in the state. They have full rights as citizens. They serve in the military proudly, et cetera, et cetera. But if they don't want to serve in the military, they don't have to. So there is a weight upon the Jewish people, which is much heavier than the people that are not Jewish. In many, many ways, okay? So this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I thought I'd read that and remind you of those things so that if somebody brings this type of stuff up to you, you are prepared for it. From the Times of Israel, University of Michigan accidentally sends email vowing commitment to advancing anti-Semitism. This was not a smart person. Obviously, it was a mistake. But let's think these things through before we type them up. Like many American universities today, University of Michigan wants its community to know that it is committed to diversity, equity, and inclusion, known as DEI. But for Jews, an email its chief diversity officer sent inadvertently communicated the opposite effect. In a letter to all students, staff, and faculty, Robert Sellers, the university's vice provost for equity and inclusion and chief diversity officer, said the university must renew our commitment to the advancement of anti-racism, anti-ableism, anti-Semitism, gender equity, and building a climate resistance to sexual misconduct. The error was clear. While anti-Semitism has the same prefix as the other terms, it refers to the hatred of Jews, while the others refer to efforts to combat hatred and discrimination. The university sent out a correction and an apology a few hours later, after the initial email went out. In our efforts to communicate our commitment to advancing numerous DEI efforts and the dismantling of anti-Semitism efforts, we clearly misstated our intentions and inadvertently suggested that we support anti-Semitism, Sellers wrote in the follow-up. That is the exact opposite of our intent. So I just thought it was cute enough to mention. So when you're talking about anti-Semitism, the anti has a different sense than it does with the other annies, okay? I had an Annie that was a really good cook, I'll tell you that. Okay, from the Times of Israel, Telegram channel leaks Mossad chief's personal photos and documents. It's like a comedy this week. Everything that happened to Israel, actually some of these go back to late last week, but here Mossad is supposed to be the super secret organization of Israel. It's just comedy. Let me read it to you. An anonymous Telegram channel published a video that included personal photos and documents seemingly belonging to Mossad chief David Barnea. It's not seemingly. They are. Okay. The video published on the Open Hands channel, which was created, alleged the info it had obtained was from a lengthy intel operation conducted against Barnea, which began in 2014. We've got a small gift for the Mossad with love for David. Happy Purim, a post on the channel read, referring to the Jewish holiday. The video, with translations in English, Hebrew, and Arabic, showed several personal photos, flight tickets under Barnea's name, his ID card, tax documents addressed to his wife, and satellite imagery of what it claimed to be his private home in the central city of Hod HaSharon. A clip of Barnea making silly faces, apparently during a private video chat, is also seen in the video. The group claimed it began its surveillance op against Barnea by breaking into the database of the city's local library. It was not immediately clear this info was used to gather on the data on Barnea. The channel said more material on the Mossad chief would be released soon. So it's just kind of a comedy that somebody got into everything in this guy's life. And my guess is it was the Iranians, but whoever it was, they really embarrassed Israel over that one. And there's no doubt it was this guy. I mean, like I said, there's a live video chat where he's making these goofy faces and stuff. And, you know, what do you do when something like that happens? Oh, well. We got some news concerning Christianity here. And before I give you our first article, Jonathan, he is Jonathan Ryu. He's up in Washington State, and he is a great guy. I hear from him from time to time. He gives me an update on where he's at. Okay, I'm in the middle of Numbers right now. I'm getting towards the end of Numbers. And this morning I got one. Maybe it was yesterday afternoon. He said, I am up to the Deuteronomy sermons now. He's watched everything up to Deuteronomy. He's almost caught up with it. And also, because I'm always telling people, read your Bible, read your Bible, he's finally getting through the Bible as well. He's up to the book of Ezekiel, and he says, I am slowing down because this is so filled with information. This guy is excited for the Lord, but he's watching the sermons, and then he's got a business. And I have to laugh every time he sends this. He says, I blast your sermons in the business. And this is up in Washington, right? I'm sure it goes over really well. But yeah, and people are like, what are you listening to? And they start saying, he's like plugging this period word. You got to watch it. Yeah, you know. Anyway, my appreciation to him for that, but more than anything, that he is actually in the Word of God. Just as excited about it as a little child opening Christmas presents. It's just unbelievable. Okay, from the Christian Post. Chinese Christian woman detained for attempting to share gospel with Xi Jinping. Now, in itself, that sounds wonderful. This lady wants to tell the, whatever you call him, prime minister, or what is he in China? He's, I guess, prime minister, whatever he is.
Premier.
Okay, he's the premier. All right. She wants to share it with him. She's gone above and beyond anything you or I would do. This is an amazing person. I got to tell you what. Authorities in northeast China detained a Christian woman for her repeated attempt to share the gospel with President Xi and his wife. The woman, who is from Liaoning, I'm not even going to try. We'll just say it's from some place in some province, has been arrested more than 50 times for her earlier attempts. Police ordered Zhao Xinjia to return home to the port city of Dalian after she was caught holding up a sign asking Xi Jinping to believe in Jesus in the, another really long name, I'm not going to try, it's in an area of Beijing, the central headquarters for the Communist Party of China and the State Council of China. The woman who is an activist, I would say so, she is an activist for Jesus, was charged with picking quarrels and provoking trouble. 50 times she's been picked up trying to get the message of Jesus to somebody. That is somebody that is willing to spend her time properly, in my opinion, just so you know that. Here's something to convict all of you. Please don't raise your hand. Please don't walk out or feel. I want you to feel convicted. But other than that, just How many of you have tried to share Jesus in the past 7 days? That's my question to you. Okay. How many of you have gone out of your house in the past 7 days? Okay. Because I was out to lunch with my friends that were visiting, and the last thing we did, which I didn't even think of because I've been there so many times, I just don't even think of it anymore. It's right down the road. But the last thing she did before we left the table was to pull out a track and leave it on the table for the girl that served us. Okay. I have a track rack full of tracks back there, and they have not been getting depleted lately. Okay, I have to keep saying, make sure you take some tracks today, and then they go down, and then I have to stamp more. Okay, and I love stamping tracks because it tells me people are handing out tracks. There you go. Okay, so I want you to feel convicted about that. If you are not telling people about Jesus every time you meet a new person, then you need to do that. Because people are dying apart from Jesus Christ. Okay, please take the effort. And if you don't feel confident, take a tract and just give it to him. Here, let me tell you about the Redeemer of mankind and what he did for me. Okay? Times of Israel. Have you ever told anybody about Jesus? I think so. He's out every week with us at the project, so I know he is. Every single week. And this guy doesn't just come to the projects. He comes from the middle of the state to come to the projects and then to come to church. It's a long drive for he and his wife to get here. It's not, I'm going to get in the car today and drive 20 minutes to church. It is a long, long drive. And he's there every Saturday to tell people about Jesus. So bandana's off to you. Okay, times of Israel. Israel said, barring Ethiopian Christian pilgrims from country for fear they will stay. Now, this wouldn't normally be an issue, but because they made it an issue, I thought I'd read it to you. Israeli authorities have banned Ethiopian Christian pilgrims and their groups from visiting the country for the upcoming Easter holiday over fears that they will not return home. Tourism agencies recently received a letter from the Population and Immigration Authority that said, due to the ongoing civil war in Ethiopia, there were concerns these tourists will not head back due to it. Okay, all of a sudden this becomes a racial issue, and they're a racist state for not allowing these people to come in. How many other nations are currently in a civil war? That's my question. Because I bet you that if they are in a civil war, they would issue the same advisory for that country as they do for Ethiopia, right? But because the Ethiopians have a lot of Christians, they're close and they want to come to Israel, and because they're black, all of a sudden they're a racist state. If we were in the middle of a civil war right now in America, I guarantee you that Israel would say, we don't want you coming here over Easter, okay? We don't want it. Why? Because they read the same article that I read you a week or so ago that said that 43% of all Democrats or Americans, meaning all Democrats, would leave America if there was a civil war. They would not defend what they believe in. They would leave. And so Israel would be filled with Democrats, okay? They don't want that, okay? So, yeah, there you go. Neither do we. The letter also said that any Ethiopian who wishes to visit Israel must do so personally by contacting the authorities online. The network noted Israel has not imposed any such restrictions on pilgrims from other countries. Like I said, how many other countries are in the middle of a civil war? Yossi Fatal, head of the Israeli Incoming Tour Operators Association, wrote to Interior Ministry Shaked to decry the policy as severely discriminatory. There you go. He said groups in Ethiopia have contacted Israeli officials in protest. Well, if they post a bond of, you know, $300,000 or whatever, I don't know what it costs to pay for a bond like that, but you pay a certain fund, and when you get back to your country and you collect on it, fine. But if you're going to show up here in this country and you're not going to leave, then you become our responsibility. Who wants that? Okay, I understand there are things going on in the world that cannot be helped, but Israel is a very small country with a limited amount of space, a limited amount of infrastructure, and they can't take on all the world's problems. And neither can the U.S., by the way.
Amen.
The southern border is wide open, folks. German Cardinal celebrates mass marking 20 years of queer worship. Yes, German Cardinal Reinhard Marx celebrated a Mass Sunday to commemorate 20 years of queer worship and pastoral care in Munich, Germany. I desire an inclusive church, a church that includes all who want to walk the way of Jesus, said Cardinal Marx, the Archbishop of Munich, as an advisor to Pope Francis, which is not surprising at all. According to the Archdiocese website, the Cardinal was preaching to a queer congregation. In his homily, Marx insisted that Jesus himself was opposed to those who exclude. He has not read the last page of the book of Revelation, which is the last page of the Bible. Okay. Does anybody know what it says there? Let me take you there. Jesus does not exclude. Okay, let's see. This is Revelation chapter 22. Here's what it said. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Yeah, so he doesn't want people that will exclude, but rather would like to invite everyone with the primacy of love. So we're putting love above God's other attributes. God is holy, God is just, God is righteous, God is truthful, God is merciful, God is gracious, God is love, and they all have a tension pulling against each other that can only be resolved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And if somebody is unwilling to come to Jesus Christ, then they are excluded from the love. Okay, the kingdom of God is to discover that God is love in all its dimensions, said Marx, which includes the sexual dimension. As I said, oh, there it is. My comments right here, try Revelation 22:14. Well, there it is. All human relationships must be characterized by the primacy of love. Then they can be accepted by God. A synodal church means being open, learning, and always setting out anew in faith in the search for God's possibilities and in the question of what we have to say about sexuality and what we have to say about human relationships. Well, that's defined from the first pages of the Bible. Last week, the president of the German Catholic Bishops Conference declared that the Catholic Church must change its teaching on sexual morality, insisting that gay sex does not harm a person's relationship with God. Same-sex relations are okay as long as they are carried out with loyalty and responsibility. That doesn't affect one's relationship with God. Okay, we got some news from the Mideast and Africa today from the Jerusalem Post. Iran has 3,000 ballistic missiles, many that can reach Israel, a U.S. general says. Iran has more than 3,000 ballistic missiles, many of which can reach the state of Israel, commander of CENTCOM General Kenneth McKenzie said. McKenzie, who is retiring from the military soon, was in Israel last week and held talks with Prime Minister Bennett, Defense Minister Gantz, and IDF Chief of Staff Kohavi. At a military level, my concern is, first of all, that they do not have a nuclear weapon. Well, Biden is working on them getting one right now. But I am also very concerned about the remarkable growth and efficiency of their ballistic missile program. Okay, having said that, and the reason why I'm including this here is because we've known that they've had these missiles for a long time. But now we have the person filling the White House right now that is working on an agreement to give Iran everything that they need to construct a bomb. And now they have the missiles that can get it right to Tel Aviv, right on time for whatever holiday they want to celebrate. It's that quick, and it is that near to happening. Okay, I've got an article coming up. I'll probably read it Wednesday. Very interesting article about Israel and how it is related to what is going on between Russia and the Ukraine right now. It is a most insightful article. They have over 3,000 missiles of various types, some of which can reach Tel Aviv. None of them can reach Europe yet. In McKenzie's written statement, he called Iran's missile force the greatest threat to the region's security, and that Iran has developed an arsenal of nuclear warhead-capable ballistic missiles and has tested these weapon platforms multiple times. He told the committee that over the last 5 to 7 years, Iran has invested heavily in its ballistic missile program. And they did that even while under sanctions. Eventually, they would have ran out of money and they wouldn't have been able to do it anymore. But then somebody took over the White House and has undone all of those sanctions, and they're back up to billions and billions and billions of dollars, and they're building more missiles against the agreement anyway. They're doing it every day. CENTCOM assessed in the pre-written statement that Syria and Iraq will continue to be used as supply routes and hubs to forward its campaign against Israel. This is in part to arm its proxy in Lebanon, Hezbollah. It was estimated last year that Hezbollah has 130,000 to 150,000 rockets that can reach deep into Israeli territory. This armed stockpile also includes Iranian ballistic missiles. Iran has armed its proxy in Yemen, the Houthi rebels, with drones and ballistic and cruise missiles, the general wrote. The Houthis have also expressed hostility toward Israel and have previously said that they have joined the anti-Israel front. They also have used these missiles and drones to attack the UAE and Saudi Arabia. McKenzie is also expressing concern about Iran's drone program. Iran's drone fleet has evolved from commercial off-the-shelf UAVs to drones, that resemble cruise missiles in terms of increased speed, range, accuracy, resistance to electronic warfare, and warhead weight, he assessed in his statement. Iran has also been able to mass produce the drone components, allowing them to be supplied with greater ease to the Islamic Republic's proxy network. So this is what's going on over there. It is not that the guy in the White House right now does not know this. He's fully aware of it. And he has, along with the guy that is pulling his strings, the previous president of the United States before Trump, okay, is pulling all the strings in the White House right now. They are fully aware of the state of Israel, and they hate the state of Israel. Yeah. That is what's going on. Listen, if I include that on Wednesday, that article I was referring to, you want to hear that, and you want to know what's going on, because they do not like Israel. They never have, and they want it eliminated. From the Times of Israel, Iran claims to add smart submarines to its military arsenal. Iran's powerful Revolutionary Guard has added smart submarines, unmanned water vehicles, to its navy for the first time. The Guard's navy unveiled the vessels, along with new missiles and speedboats, at a ceremony in Iran's southern port city of Bandar Abbas. Its new speedboats can travel at up to 109 miles per hour. And are able to launch missiles and rockets. That's a really fast thing in the water. 109 miles an hour is going really quick. The report also said the Guard's Navy was equipped with new maneuverable missiles with an extended range. Since 1992, Iran has developed a homegrown defense industry that produces light and heavy weapons ranging from mortars and torpedoes to tanks and submarines. Iran claimed responsibility for a missile barrage that struck near a sprawling U.S. consulate complex in northern Iraq, saying it was retaliation for an Israeli strike in Syria that killed two members of its Revolutionary Guard earlier this week, once again admitting that the Revolutionary Guard is in Syria. Okay, no injuries were reported in the attack on the city of Erbil, which marked a significant escalation between the U.S. and Iran. Hostility between the longtime foes is often played out in Iraq, whose government is allied with both countries. So there you go. We got all kinds of little things going on with Iran. They're pushing a lot of buttons and pulling a lot of strings, and it's going to be something that Israel must deal with. They must. It's not a, oh, we can put this off that much longer. They're going to have to deal with it. Okay, we got something now interesting from Mongolia, from Travel Off Path. Mongolia. Anybody ready to go to Mongolia? Okay, Mongolia and Moldova become the 17th and 18th countries to remove entry requirements. Yes, Mongolia and Moldova have now completely removed their entry rules for travelers. In doing so, Mongolia and Moldova, located in Asia and Europe respectively, have become the 17th and 18th such countries around the world to remove COVID-19-related restrictions and return to normal. So if you never got your shot, okay, you can now go to Mongolia. Compared to last year, 2022 has been a much brighter one for travelers, with a growing number of worldwide destinations taking steps to make it much easier for travelers to visit once again. You want to go to Uganda? I've already mentioned this to you, but I'm mentioning it again. They are open. You don't need a vax anymore. If you want to go to visit Isaac in Uganda and see what he does for the people there, you're welcome to go. Okay, got a couple people in the church that actually said to me, we would like to know more about that. So we'll see if that pans out. Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? From Technocracy, new AI. Now, this sounds like a really good idea. I'm going to go on to Facebook from now on out and have people check this out. New AI detects mental disorders based on web posts. I'm going to tell you what, every single person on this planet would be identified with that one. Okay, the academic developer, obviously of a technocrat mind, states that social media offers an easy way to tap into people's behaviors. Exactly why I'm no longer on Facebook. So, depending on how the algorithm defines mental disorders, you can be stereotyped and redirected to therapy program to straighten you out. Dartmouth researchers have built an AI model for detecting mental disorders using conversations on Reddit, part of an emerging wave of screening tools that use computers to analyze social media posts and gain an insight into people's mental states. What sets the new model apart is a focus on the emotions rather than the specific content of the social media text being analyzed. In a paper presented at the 20th International Conference on Web Intelligence and Intelligent Agent Tech, the researchers show that this approach performs better over time, irrespective of the topics discussed in the posts. There are many reasons why people don't seek help for mental health disorders. Stigma, high costs, and lack of access to services are some common barriers. There's also a tendency to minimize signs of mental disorders or conflate them with stress. It's possible that they will seek help with some prompting, he says, and that's where digital screening tools can make a difference. They're going to prompt you now. Social media offers an easy way to tap into people's behaviors. The data is voluntary and public, published for others to read. Reddit, which offers a massive network of user forums, was their platform of choice because it has nearly 500 million active users who discuss a wide range of topics. The posts and comments are publicly available, and the researchers could collect data dating back to 2011. In their study, the researchers focused on what they call emotional disorders, major depressive, anxiety, and bipolar disorders, which are characterized by distinct emotional patterns. They looked at data from users who had self-reported as having one of these disorders and from users without any known mental disorders. They trained their model to label the emotions expressed in users' posts and map the emotional transitions between different posts so a post could be labeled joy, anger, sadness, fear, no emotion, or a combination of these. The map is a matrix that would show how likely it was that a user went from any one state to another, such as from anger to a neutral state of no emotion. Different emotional disorders have their own signature patterns of emotional transitions. By creating an emotional fingerprint for a user and comparing it to established signatures of emotional disorders, the model can detect them. To validate their results, they tested it on posts that were not used during training and show that the model accurately predicts which users may or may not have one of these disorders. This approach sidesteps an important problem called information leakage that typical screening tools run into. Other models are built around scrutinizing and relying on the content of the text, he says. And while the models show high performance, they can also be misleading. So there you go. If you want, you can now participate in being checked if you are emotionally disordered or not. I mean, that doesn't interest me even that much.
I'd be okay. Admitted.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that too. I'd be admitted, not just admitted, they'd just throw the key away. They'd leave a slot for food and that is it. Okay, it's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of. So let's see how that's developing. From the Epoch Times, food protectionism. That's when a country does not want you to have its food for whatever reason. Food protectionism threatens to further disrupt global crop trading. And as proof, from Zero Hedge, Argentina halts soy exports as food protectionism soars. This is like the 10th country I've seen do this. Hungary started it about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, and other countries are now not shipping anything out of their country because they're afraid that their people are not going to have enough food to eat. Zero Hedge, death toll rises to over 12 million chickens and turkeys in second month of America's horrific bird flu pandemic. It was a week and a half ago that I said how many had been culled. Anybody remember that? 2 million. 2 million. Yeah, so we're up to 12 million now. An outbreak of bird flu at an egg-laying farm in Iowa is going to result in the culling of over 5 million chickens. It's the second confirmed case of avian influenza in Buena Vista County, about 160 miles northwest of Des Moines. But the latest outbreak is at an operation with 5.3 million chickens. The earlier case was at a farm with about 50,000 turkeys, which is nothing compared to 5.3 million chickens. The Kansas Department of Agriculture announced that samples show cases of highly pathogenic avian influenza, HPAI, in two non-commercial backyard mixed species flocks, meaning poultry. Officials in South Dakota said that 85,000 birds in two state facilities were euthanized amid the state's first avian flu outbreak since 2015. So you've got already, Iowa, you've got Kansas, you've got, South Dakota. Okay, the outbreaks took place on two farms in Charles Minx County, located in the southeastern part of the state where the flu was first detected in turkeys. Other birds in close contact with the turkeys were euthanized as well. After the first month, the death toll from this pandemic was sitting at approximately 2.8 million. The total death toll here in the second month of the pandemic has now reached nearly 12.6 million. If this pandemic continues to rise on such a trajectory, what is our food supply going to look like in a few months down the road? And this comes at a time when global food supplies are getting tighter and tighter with each passing day. Global hunger was already rapidly rising even before 2022 started, and now we have a real nightmare on our hands. If you remember, they had this avian flu. The 2.8 million was in the Northeast. I mean, it's covering the entire middle section of the United States right now, so we'll see where that goes. The last time we had a really big outbreak, I think it was 50 million birds that got culled. Okay, but they didn't have all the other problems that we have in the world right now. Okay, and so this could be really bad if we got back up to 50 million birds. Okay, from the Epic Times, New Hampshire House approves over-the-counter ivermectin. New Hampshire took a giant step closer to becoming the first U.S. state to offer ivermectin without a prescription by a 183 to 159 vote. New Hampshire's Republican-dominated House of Representatives approved HB 1022, which would allow pharmacists to dispense ivermectin under a standing order, meaning anyone can go to a pharmacist and get the human grade of the medication. New Hampshire Republican lawmaker Leah Cushman, a nurse and the bill sponsor, said she absolutely had no doubt lives will be saved if human-grade ivermectin was available to COVID patients. House Republicans sent a clear message today that we support expanding options for the treatment of COVID. The House also means people will not have to resort to buying human-grade ivermectin from a foreign country in order to exercise their right to use the medication to treat their symptoms. The provision in the bill that safeguards doctors from any potential discipline or an investigation by the state's licensing board for prescribing ivermectin for COVID-19 takes some of the political pressure off of them. The bill still has to win final approval from the Senate, but that is also Republican-controlled, and so far its GOP lawmakers have shown that they believe in the state's live free or die motto when it comes to treatment choices about COVID-19. Similar bills are pending legislative approval in Oklahoma, Michigan, Indiana, Arizona, and Arkansas. Morality is declining. Here's some news on that. From Mail Online. Mystery. I just can't believe this. You know, remember when they started allowing euthanasia in Belgium and all these other countries, and they said this is only going to be for people that are in absolutely bad shape. They're ready to punch their ticket, but they're so miserable that we just need to eliminate them. And all of a sudden, and everybody predicted this, it wasn't anything that was hidden. Of course, it's going to go to just any old people. And that's going to go to anybody that's sick for this reason. Then it's going to go to, and pretty soon it's going to be anybody that wants to die can just come in and die. And that's where we're at with many of these countries now. Listen to this. Mystery. As two healthy and happy Arizona sisters, one a doctor, 54, the other a nurse, 49, they're both completely healthy, die by assisted suicide after vanishing on a trip to Switzerland. Heartbroken brother says he doesn't know why they did it. They're perfectly healthy. They just wanted to nix themselves. And so they flew over to Europe, had a little vacation, and had themselves euthanized. It'll never happen. Never happen. Of course, every single time they introduce something like this, it always, you know, Roe versus Wade, it's only going to be for the most unusual circumstances. It's going to be if there's rape and maybe if there's this or that. And that's it. It'll never happen. 50 million kids, 100 million kids, and there's not enough blood yet. From Breitbart. Adidas ad promotes biological males playing in female sports. Adidas. New York Post. Woman gives birth on sidewalk. Walks away from the baby covered in blood. You talk about the heart growing cold that Jesus spoke about. We're right there in this world. You have a baby on the sidewalk and you just walk away from it. Breitbart. Colorado drug overdoses spike after Democrats decriminalize fentanyl. No kidding. Mail Online. Parents fury over Texas elementary school's woke lesson segregating kids by hair color, then branding blonde children stupid before showing them autopsy photos of black girls murdered in a KKK church bombing. Autopsy photos. Wow. They showed them to these little kids. Now, I want to remind you something. The KKK were Democrats.
That's right.
Jim Crow were Democrats. Okay? Fifth grade students at Leon Springs Elementary in San Antonio in January were given a controversial class on segregation. The students were divided according to hair color, and one group was told they were privileged, leaving the others to clean up after them. The disadvantaged group were also given a puzzle with a piece missing, leaving them unable to complete it. Brandy and Mike Leninger told their local news channel that their 10-year-old daughter was left unable to sleep after the class. She was upset at being shown autopsy photos of four young girls who died in the 1963 bombing of an Alabama church by the KKK. The Leningers said they were most angry that the school had not informed them in advance of the controversial class. This is what the left is doing in the world today. No, never. Hey, listen, I would let our kids go to public school when they came back from Malaysia back in 1993. I wouldn't even let him go then. How much less now? Okay, some other news from around the world. Please be sure, before we get into the first one, to check out the Superior Word sermons, okay? Please do that. You'll get a lot better information than this. Mail Online, Jen Psaki says Ukrainian refugees are stuck at the border because they need to file paperwork. Just seven have been left into the U.S. after Biden said he'd welcome them in with open arms. This was last week, but I wanted to set that up for the next one. They said, you can come in, we're going to welcome you with open arms, and they get down to the southern border where they're letting hundreds of thousands of people come through, and they see you're a white Ukrainian, and they stop you and they say, you need to have paperwork before you can come in. Yeah, Mail Online. Joe Biden will import favored Ukrainians. He got so much heat over not allowing any Ukrainians in because they're white. He says, okay, we're going to let in 100,000 of them this past week. We're going to let them in. The Biden admin is preparing to unveil as early as this week, which he did, a plan to expedite and streamline the resettlement of some Ukrainian refugees in the United States. The plan would allow vulnerable Ukrainians, specifically activists, journalists, and those who are part of the LGBTQ community to safely enter the U.S. at least temporarily. Once they're here, they will never leave. The other ones, I'm sorry, you got to go back. It would also expedite the reunification of Ukrainians with U.S.-based family members. How big of them? From the Washington Examiner, Biden administration deems Afghans in the U.S. ineligible for deportation. The Biden admin will not deport citizens of Afghanistan who are living in the U.S. without legal permission. DHS Secretary Mayorkas announced the implementation of temporary protected status for Afghans in the country, allowing them to be protected from deportation and given the ability to work for the next 18 months. The policy means that Afghans brought to the U.S. in the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan last year, many of whom did not go through a formal process and were not fully vetted, I wouldn't say many, I would say the majority of them, will not be in line for removal. The policy is not necessarily intended for the roughly 80,000 Afghans who the U.S. evacuated from Kabul, Afghanistan last year, though the DHS said that these individuals may also be eligible for TPS. Afghan refugees brought to the United States were released into the country on a parole basis, allowing them to be safe from deportation and to work for a period of 2 years. The DHS did not respond to a request for the total number of Afghans in the U.S. who qualify. That's where we're at right now. Epic Times. Ohio GOP Senate frontrunner Gibbons faces heat with report of racist remarks about Asians incredibly bright. Okay, I thought I'd throw this in because somebody published a book about people being smart from certain cultures and not from other cultures, and there was a debate Okay, why are these people so intelligent? Why are these people not so intelligent? Okay, but he said these Asians are incredibly bright, and now he's a racist for that because they are incredibly bright. Okay, Gibbons had escaped controversy throughout the duration of his campaign until March 16th, when the New York Times naturally published an article report. They won't publish anything of credible news, but they'll publish this. Okay. That's why we have somebody up. I won't get into it. Okay. New York Times published an article reporting that he had made racist remarks about individuals of Asian descent. He's saying they're incredibly bright, and that's racist, during a 2013 podcast. According to that article, Gibbons said in the podcast, "I've often thought that when I've run into Asians, they're all, well, you know, if you've ever read The Bell Curve, it's a book, a very controversial book, and it said that the smartest people in the world, as far as measurable IQ," so they have a standard that they're checking by. Okay, it's not like, oh, you're smart because, you know, you drive well or something. They've got a measurable standard. "Where Ashkenazi Jews, they're the highest level of intelligence of any person that is measured on this standard." And then right below them was basically everybody in China, India, and, you know, throughout the Asian countries, including Okinawa, Japan. Okay. In the podcast, Gibbons added that one of his business school classes was composed of mostly Asians. He also said he was often impressed by his Asian classmates and that he thought they were incredibly bright. So he's a racist for saying that. But the question is it because of race or is it because of culture? The answer is, without any doubt at all, culture. It is culture. I know, because I know people that are in America that are incredibly bright that are in certain circumstances, and I know people that are incredibly stupid that are in other circumstances, and yet they have the exact same genes. Okay? This is a cultural problem. You want dumb people? Do what the Democrats are doing to the people on welfare. That you're going to get a nation full of illiterate people. Yep. I know this. I'm in the projects every Saturday of my life with these other people. Okay? If you want people to excel, you give them the ability to excel. Other than that, it'll never happen. From Breitbart, "Democrats in Portland, Maine approve voting rights for foreign nationals." Epic Times, "South Dakota governor signs bill banning outside funding for elections, citing Mark Zuckerberg's spree." Finally, something good. Epic Times, "Constitutional carry." We had two of them last week. Here's another. "Constitutional carry bill signed into law in Indiana." Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb on March 21st signed into law a measure that will allow the state citizens to carry a handgun without a permit. Also referred to as a constitutional carry bill by some in reference to the Second Amendment. If you remember, I said last Sunday when I said the other two, I have a friend, Eric. Hey, Eric, we want to work on that. He has been for years, and I just wasn't sure if he still was. He is. He sent me an email, and he says, "We are working on this here in the state of Florida. We're working on a constitutional carry. I don't have to go out and pay a fee to have a gun on me anymore, and I can put it in my holster instead of inside my pocket, and I can let people know I am armed. I'm going to defend the people around me. You want to shoot anybody, you better shoot me. Send me to Jesus. I don't care. But I will defend the people around me. I don't care if they're Democrats. I will defend anybody around me that is in harm's way. That's my job as a gun-carrying human being, okay? The reason why I do this, I think I might have told you, I might not have. My mom and I got the same idea at the same time. The only difference is I was in the military and I did not need to take a course. My mom wasn't, so she did. But I took the course with her so that we would do it together, and I ensured that she would do it. We both listened to the woman who went into the Lubies in Texas with her family, her mother and her father. And she said, "I don't need this in Lubies." And she left her gun safely secured in her car. She went in and somebody came in and killed her mother and her father. And she's testified before Congress, and you should have seen the Democrats, how they railed against her. You have no right to defend yourself in this nation. Well, we do. So that's why I carry a gun, is because of that woman's testimony. When you see me in a restaurant, I will always try to sit in the very back corner with my face looking out at everything that's going on with the door in that direction. Because I want to defend the people in that restaurant. And if you don't want to be with somebody carrying a gun, don't go to a restaurant with me. Okay, let's see here. Where did I sit when we went to the restaurant? There you go.
In the right place.
In the right place. And that's because I care about the people I'm with and the people that are serving me. Okay, Zero Hedge. Ukraine blocks trans woman refugees. They are men. they must go back and fight. They won't let him out. People putting on makeup and saying, I'm a girl. Nope, you're going to go fight. Weasel Zippers. Ketanji Brown Jackson on if an unborn child can feel pain at 20 weeks. Her answer? I don't know. That means she doesn't care because she has always been an abortion supporter. If she doesn't know, it means she does not care. Who said it? We need not worry so much about what man descends from. It's what he descends to that shames the human race. Samuel Clemens. Mark Twain. Okay, I got a Lesserick here for you. Let's see if you can see who he is talking about this week. China's leader will simply not budge. He is like Bible's famed unjust judge. There is hope for him yet, while the hell should he sweat, because he's bent out of shape by a nudge. The girl's just trying to tell him about Jesus, and they're all bent out of shape, and they have her arrested 50 times. Thank goodness for that woman and her faith. And you ought to have seen her in the photo. She's standing here with the accusations in front of her. You know how they do that in China? They write down your charges against you, and they stand there, okay? Biggest smile on the planet. I got to try to tell Z again about Jesus. Okay, I got a little bit of irony here for you today. Where is the state with the most insane people? There's 50 states. Which one is it? No. You don't read enough articles. No, there are a lot of crazy people in all of them. It is Florida. If you just read the Florida news, I'm not kidding. Every single day, I find the most bizarre things about people from Florida. You'll see crazy things about people from California and all these other places, but Florida has a lot of really... I imagine somebody said something about me. They were complimenting me and being so sane. Oh, okay. They moved here from other states. I will agree with that. Okay. From Fox. This is a Florida man for sure. Florida man accused of calling 911 to have his meth tested for authenticity. Such is the world in which we live, and so from Sarasota, Florida, to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.